Only human, nothing more. By Ecstasis Wings. Read by Mist Marauder. Eddie's mother always used to cut his hair. For some reason, amidst all the many things he could recall from his childhood, that particular fact sticks in the forefront of his mind. He realizes when he's older, of course, that it was always about money. The little things add up quickly enough with just himself and Christopher. So he can imagine his own father's salary had to stretch a lot to support a wife and three kids. But when he was young, he didn't think anything of it. He wouldn't even pay attention much. Every so often, his mother would catch him in the kitchen and run her fingers through his hair, only to tisk quietly about him getting untidy before whisking him off to the bathroom to sit patiently as she brought out the clippers and scissors. He never minded the way that Sophia and Adriana did. Granted, he never cared much about style, Sophia, and certainly never tried to give himself bangs that their mother refused to fix as punishment, Adriana. It was just how they did things in their house. And it was just hair. What did it matter how it looked? The first time someone cuts Eddie's hair professionally, he's just signed up for basic training. He sits in the chair at the barber on base, and his head is a mess of panic and desperation. His chest tight with anxiety. Because he hasn't taken a full breath since Shannon handed him a pregnancy test, with tears in her eyes. And he can't shake the feeling that he's making a mistake, even though it's the only path forward he can see, and he only stopped before heading home because he's afraid they're going to fight. He isn't paying attention, really, when the clippers turn on. But he does when they start up the back of his neck. The overgrown locks that he's taken to gelling back falling to the floor in clumps. It's stupid, maybe, but it feels a little like something happens in that chair. They cut away the softness and leave behind sharp regulation edges, and it doesn't stop him from being afraid, but it helps. Helps him pretend. Helps him fall into the role of someone who is responsible. Someone who knows what they're doing. Someone who is in control. Stupid, maybe. Stupid, definitely, is what he settles on years later when he's back from war, trapped in his own head and drowning on dry land, because regulation edges make him flinch when he looks in the mirror, and he knows no haircut in the world is going to help him fake his way back to normalcy. So he just lets it grow again. It doesn't matter anyway. When Eddie moves to L.A., all it takes is one passing mention of needing a trim before starting at the academy, and Isabel parks him in a chair in her kitchen and reaches for the scissors. And it's comforting. Her fingers comb gently through his hair, and she hums quietly as she works. Some song he half remembers her singing to get them all to sleep when they would visit as kids. He doesn't have to tell her to leave it long as he can conceivably keep it without being a hazard. Peppa jokes that he looks like he stepped off a telenovela set and asks what or who he's trying so hard for. But Isabel swats at his aunt with a dish towel and shushes her before kissing him on the cheek. Eddie doesn't know how to say that sometimes he wonders if he is trying too hard. But it's not vanity, it's... Sophia used to make fun of him for slicking back his hair and carrying a comb around with him to fix it throughout the day, the way so many other boys in their neighborhood did. Not that she had any room to judge, with her thick curls and the big earrings and scarves and eyeliner she used to throw on after they left the house, only to wash it off before they got home again. They were, both of them, trying to fit something. He still doesn't know exactly what. It's how it was, how he was, before Shannon, before Christopher, before getting shot out of the sky, when everything was easier. And he's not an idiot. He knows he can't ever go back. But it's one thing, one simple thing, that he can cling to anyway as a reminder. That somewhere among all the broken pieces, he hasn't completely lost that boy. So, he keeps it long. He uses a little gel. Okay, a lot of gel. And spends longer than he should in the mornings combing it back. It's fine. It's good. He's fine. When Shannon comes back, and they fall and fall, can't seem to stop falling, in bed with one another, she threads her fingers through his hair constantly. She says it reminds her of when they met. And Eddie may have a million misgivings and an equal number of regrets, but he wants to think she means it as a good thing. Everything falls apart, and Eddie could almost laugh at how quickly it happens. Like God couldn't wait to punish him for having the audacity to think maybe he had a handle on his life. Shannon says she thinks she's pregnant, and he's 20 and terrified all over again. She says she's not, that she wants a divorce, and he's 25 and devastated. Only this time around, it's tempered with a sharp edge of bitterness, because what was the point of demanding his forgiveness? To be let back in? Was it only to make him feel this stupid? She dies in an ambulance. And he's 29. And the world falls out from under him. His parents come to visit only to say he should move back to Texas, because clearly his little act of rebellion or independence or whatever it was has failed in spectacular fashion. Then, Buck, his best friend, gets trapped under a ladder truck, almost loses his leg, almost loses his life. And Eddie, honestly, something shatters inside him. But it's like he heard the crash and the lights are off, and he knows he needs to clean up the shards, but he can't find his shoes. And any step he takes, he's going to get cut. So all he wants to do is stand still. Except that he can't stand still. Eddie knows he can't stand still. He can't stop. He can't break down. He can't hide in the dark under the covers until he feels like he can function. Can't afford the time it would take to unravel the tangled wreck his emotions have knotted themselves into. He can't do any of those things because he has Christopher. And Christopher needs him to be present. Needs him to be okay. Needs him to not be a hopeless failure. Christopher lost his mother. And Christopher comes first. Always. So there's no space for Eddie to breathe. Pause. Figure out where he's bleeding and sew himself up. All Eddie can do is try to shove it all down and pray he'll be able to deal with it when it inevitably springs back to bite him again. It's ironic, in a way. When he came back from the war, he didn't want to talk. Didn't think he could. Now, he thinks he would. Thinks he could. He could talk to Buck. He knows that Buck's probably not going to judge him for admitting that twisted up in his grief and guilt and self-doubt, he's angry and doesn't know how to deal with it because he can never get closure. But he can't talk to Buck. Not really. Not when Buck's had two surgeries already and spends his days looking worse than Eddie feels, in pain and dropping weight and looking haunted. If Eddie asked, he knows Buck would listen, because he's a good friend. which is why Eddie can't ask. He can't be that selfish. So, he keeps it to himself. Eddie runs out of gel on a Friday morning. He doesn't have time to deal with it, though, already running late. So he combs his hair back with water, even as he knows it'll end up falling into his face all shift. They have 8 calls that day. They lose someone on almost every one. By the time Eddie gets home, he's just wrung out, exhausted down to his bones. He takes a shower so hot, his skin feels raw by the end of it, but it doesn't help. He finds himself gripping the edge of the bathroom sink after, his breathing too fast, a shout trapped in his throat because it's not fair. It's not fair. None of this is fucking fair. Christopher didn't deserve to lose his mother. Buck didn't deserve to have his leg crushed. Eddie. His hair falls into his eyes, and he manages a strangled laugh as he pushes it back. Fuck, who is he kidding with that? It doesn't feel like him anymore, and he hardly feels like himself anyway. Hardly feels connected to his own body. There are scissors under the sink, left from the last time Eddie opened a package wrapped in that industrial-strength plastic. He grabs them without thinking, doesn't have a clue what the fuck he's doing, but his heart is racing and he can't breathe, and he can't fix anything else that's wrong in his life, but he's pretty sure he can at least stop his damn hair from falling into his eyes, so that's what he's going to do. It's a mess. He can't see the back, but the top ends up uneven. The first cut is too deep, so the rest ends up as one big experiment in damage control, and he thinks there might be a metaphor somewhere in there. It's unrecognizable, though. Not long and boyish, not sharp regulation. Something different, something new. Breathing comes a little easier as he stares at his handiwork in the mirror. The sink littered with strands. He pulls himself back from the edge. So, it'll do. Isabel fixes it the next day when he brings Christopher over. Or at least, she manages to even it out enough that it looks intentional. She doesn't say anything about how it got to its previous state, though, and Eddie's grateful for that. He's fine. He's in control. He's trying. Eddie notices when his hair starts growing out again, mostly because once it gets to a certain point, he has to figure out whether to cut it off again or let it be. He lets it grow. Not as long as it was before. He thinks maybe he's well and truly closed the door on certain things. But longer. Enough to style it. To run his fingers through it and feel like it's something. He likes it. It feels good. Right. It's a conscious choice. Deliberate. But not a panicked, desperate one, and not one that's forced on him, and not one he's making because he's trying to be a version of himself that's already gone. He thinks maybe that's best. To leave it be as long as it fits who he is now. Buck likes running his fingers through it too, once they figure themselves out in that regard. And Eddie loves it when he does. The end.